Mrs. Zumwalt, I can start with a basic question, and that is, you met the Admiral in Shanghai as a young woman, and if you could, tell me how you came to be in Shanghai, considering the background of your parents and your family.
Well, but may I have something to mention to you? I didn't meet him.
Okay.
He came to Shanghai. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my parents, my father was French, my mother was Russian. And during the Russian Revolution, they were closer to Manchuria. Escape to Manchuria, and that's why. Really, now when I look back, it's very, very different. I grew up in a very different customs and traditions, and I'm very grateful I had that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And something was interesting, of course, my parents always, always worried, I mean, all the people actually, refugees there, worried that eventually the Russian communists will come to Manchuria. So my parents always were trying to area. My mother's sister was in Shanghai, and my aunt just constantly, as I recall, she was trying for me to get to Shanghai because the news would not be summer, I will come back to Harbin. But then it got to the point, I start to forget Russian. So my parents had the difficulties with me. So at that point, they decided they better keep me in Harbin.
Well, you would flip back and forth between Harbin and Shanghai.
Yes.
And you were initially taught or learned Russian in the home and,
yes,
and were sort of focusing on French at school.
Yes, French and English.
Yes.
And then finally, when I also came, now when I look back, and I think I'm glad that I stayed, because when I look back, I had a very short time with my parents. I was watching television the other day about the Hong Kong. My heart just a little pinched, because I remember very well, very clearly, when the Japanese came to Manchuria, that the Chinese, they were all standing, and particularly where we lived there, I was standing in the passage, which covered just before we get to our place, we had to go through the little passage, and then we go into our, I was standing under that cover, sort of, and I remember that the Chinese ladies were standing in front of me, and they were, of course, I was very scared, because when I saw those Japanese were coming with the big guns and carry all that, it was really very, very frightening experience for a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're talking about Hong Kong. I had a little bit pinch in my heart, because I realized that will be really the last of the colonies, you know, different nationalities. And it's kind of sad to me, because I know what it was, the type of a life it was, and it was really very exciting, very, particularly the last cruise we took, we ended up in Hong Kong, so it was just what. So we happened to be invited to lunch to a group of people, private home, and they were all different nationalities. And I realized that's what I miss. They were just marriages with the different background and languages. It was exciting, but
soon after the Japanese arrived,
we had a choice. But we happened to be right in the main street. So I remember I came home and I saw the Japanese officer was standing. Mother, I look at her and she was quite nervous. He asked how big the family, how large the family. My mother told me that it's only three. So you're going to rent and your tenants are coming tomorrow. And that was very simple.
And he handed you the rent. Okay. paid
for it. Oh, yes, he paid.
Oh, actually paid for it.
Oh, yes, yeah. And he even didn't ask. I mean, they paid. We were very, very fortunate.
They were not Chinese citizens. Mm-hmm.
So they actually treated you well because you were not Chinese?
No, because, you see, the Chinese, yes, they just would never even...
They forced them,
and that's all. Some of them lived. As a matter of fact, there was a beautiful mansion, and that was completely thrown out. I mean, all people had to, the whole family had to be on the street. So we were very fortunate with the kind of the men we had as attendants. Very, very lucky. And particularly the last one, that he was things were very difficult to get, but he's the one who will get that in what they call the black market.
Yeah.
So we were just extremely. Mother got very sick, and all the hospitals and medicals available for Japanese military, and also nobody could travel except the Germans and French. Fortunately, I could travel. But by that time, my father took my mother because she couldn't get any medical attention there. So my father took her to Peking, to our hospital in Peking. And then my father was permitted to go for 7 days. And they gave him money for 7 days and visit for 7 days. And just exactly at 7 days, they also discovered that my mother had a cancer. That's when my father's supposed to live, so he had to go. So he came and told me, and we decided that, because we didn't have anybody else who could travel, so I was the one who was supposed to go and pick up my mother. Meanwhile, he also sent a telegram to my aunt, my mother's sister. So she came from Shanghai. But with me was a problem, because my father was worried at that time. All the trains were just filled with the Japanese soldiers. And so he was quite concerned about that, and nobody could go with me. So finally, one of our neighbor who had a tenant, and he was German. So when we realized that, we asked him to escort me. And he was very, very kind about it. So he took me to him. So, and it was, and you know, even I knew it would be very unpleasant, but you still think, well, it's all right. When you're young, that's what I remember that so well. Nothing going to happen. But I'll tell you, when we got in that train, and it was just, of course, we went. It was the first class, I guess, and so they were all officers there, but they were all tipsy. And I don't know if you know, when the Japanese are just a little bit liquor, you can see the face, it's all red, and it comes right here, and they're just awful, just awful. So this young man, he told me, just sit right here, and he put me right next to the window, and then he protecting me with his arm like this, like he was talking to me or showing me something there. And so, and that's how we got to the Peking. And then when we got there, he took me immediately, and my aunt arrived at the same time from Shanghai. So he took me immediately to Rockville Hospital.
This young man, was he?
The German.
He was German.
He was German, and that's the reason why he could escort me, because only French and German could travel. So this is the only, so I was lucky. I was, you know, there are many very hard problems or tragedies, but when I look back even now, it was just amazing how all that worked out. Just pure luck, really.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to Peking, I remember my aunt, and a young man left immediately. He went back to Harbin. And So, and Pekin is just sort of kind of the hospital. It's all the Chinese from very small villages. They all with Rockefeller Hospital is just like going to the heaven. If anything happened to them, that's where they only could get the help. So, you know, it's a pilgrimage, sort of. So when we got there, it was just, it was very frightening, because all those very from small villages to peasants, without the legs, without arms, so just it was terrible. But we got there, and then also my father told me the other thing which was so interesting. Again, though, the people who have to come to the hospital, of course, it's impossible to get a hotel room. There's no such thing. So private homes opened, and like this particular lady had a very, very large home, and one room was just very, very big. So she divided with the sheets, and she put those cots on each deck. So my father and mother, that's where they stayed with this lady. And then my father mentioned to her that I'm coming probably, and also that my aunt will be here. So she kept that little place for us. And she was very, very nice. So we my mother had the surgery. Mm-hmm. And by that time also they realized it already was too late to do anything. And so we also knew there was no sense for me to go back to Harbin. We wanted to hope that something, some were going to be. So my aunt convinced me that I should go to Shanghai with my mother. So, and I went to a French consul, telling them I need a visa to go to Shanghai with my mother. And they said that, and of course by that time, my money also expired. We didn't have, and auntie came. Well, this is what was so incredible. We also realized whenever we would go to visit my mother in the evening when we'll be coming back, that somebody was watching us. And finally it got to the point that we felt very uncomfortable. And so one evening we walking and I said, my gosh, it's somebody home. They just look around and I say, yeah, the traditional old fashioned clothes. And so I said, but let's continue going. So we did to home, and the lady had to tell her that we for several days now we've been followed by someone. But tonight we saw only one person.
This was in Shanghai?
No, that was in Peking.
Okay, Peking.
In Beijing. And so by that time, when I just finished, we just finished telling her, knock at the door. And so we immediately, Auntie and I, said that that's probably who was following us. And sure enough, the door opened and that man walks in a very traditional, old-fashioned Chinese clothes, but he happened to be Japanese. So he started to tell us why he was following us, or apparently they did watch us. What happened when Auntie arrived, she forgot to change her money, Shanghai money, into Peking money. And I had, of course, from Harbin Gobi, so we're just completely different, and they didn't like that. So that was the reason. And so then he wanted to know exactly. He said, tomorrow morning, if you come to a certain corner there, I will take you to the... And that in the edge, the airport was in Peking. Gosh, it was just horrible distance. So he said that if you come and I'll take you and change the money. And we knew we'll have our problems with that. But when we got it there, he met us and he took care of everything. But then when coming back, he started asking us why we were there. And I tried to explain to him. And then he said, do you mind if I will go with you to a hospital and meet your mother? So we realized, didn't trust exactly. So we said, not at all. So he went with us. But not realizing, this is what I really believe, that God really was just took care of us amazingly. So when I finally realized I just have to go to Shanghai with my aunt, and put it somewhere that my father will join us. And so, and then we, I went to the French embassy, and it was very, very nice. So they wouldn't give me visa, and not really were very pleasant about it. So I was, when I left there, I was all in tears. And when I came and told my aunt, again with the dinner, when this Japanese came back, and he saw me in tears, and he started asking what happened. I told him that they wouldn't give me visa. They want me to go back to Harbin. But then it would be very difficult for me to go back to Shanghai. And so he said, don't worry, just come tomorrow to the embassy. I will meet you there. So the day before I was there, so exactly the same people. When I walked in, all of a sudden I had a red carpet. I don't mean a real red carpet, but they treated me with a great respect. And then I looked and that fellow was already there. And so all the papers, everything was ready and everything was just fine. And so they say, tomorrow you can catch that boat or whatever, the train, we have to go first. And I was worried about how we're going to take my mother, because she was just operated and there was just, he said, don't worry, it all have been taken care of. So we, in the following morning, took my mom out, and so the churches were there, and he was with all the, but there were those people there, and so they put us on the boat, and we got to Shanghai. And so, and that was just completely, you would never believe it, because it's just a miracle that we got there. It was just, I don't know how we would have gotten otherwise, particularly with all the ambulance, the nurses and everything.
Did you ever find out who this Japanese was, what position he had, yes, to have the authority to do this for you?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we still didn't know really very well. But in Shanghai at that time, we started to have a blackout, you know. So we had to, and when the siren started, you have to immediately turn off the lights and have a dark curtain down and all that. So I came home, and all of a sudden I see my aunt. She was very, very nervous, and she said, you'll be surprised. So when I walked in the living room, I was surprised. This Japanese fellow was sitting there. And he said, I never got your address, so I didn't know where you live. So he went direct to embassy, and they gave him an address. And of course, we were just so worried about it, because, you know, at that time, Japanese just could do almost anything there. And so we were very nervous about it. Believe it or not, it was the siren. And all of a sudden, he got so scared. And he said, I have to go and talk to my driver. And of course, he got in the limo, and he's with chauffeur. And we never saw him after that. But I received a letter from my father. And he said, I don't know who was that man, but he came and told me he met my mother, and he was telling my father about her condition and all that. So we immediately realized who he was. But meanwhile, we did find out he was gendarme. I don't know if you know what the gendarme. It's a secret service police. Mm-hmm. And they're not very kind. And they're usually terrible, just terrible.
The Kempeitai? Japanese secret police?
Pardon?
Japanese secret police?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's a sort of a gendarme. It's a, oh, they're awful. They're just awful. So when we found out that we just couldn't believe it, because if it wouldn't have been for him, we would never got out from there.
Mm-hmm. What was your age when you got to Shanghai?
I was 18 or 19,
18.
19, I guess.
So this was over Spain?
My mother died very shortly after that, and I took her in because my father couldn't come.
Were you living with your aunt in Shanghai?
Yes, with my aunt and uncle. And so then my father couldn't come. They would, because at that time all the trains and everything was just in disarray.
Your father's profession, what was he doing in Harbin?
You know, when they all came, I don't know. I think. Where am I? I'm back in Shanghai.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, you were a very young girl when the Japanese came, and you remember being afraid. The Japanese occupation of China was a very brutal thing in the way the Japanese treated the Chinese, killed thousands of them. Did you ever have any indication of how terrible this really was, or were you sheltered from that? Did you not live near where things like this took place?
Well, we knew that they were very cruel. But this is the game, though. Sometimes we're making mistakes because personality different, and there are some good and some bad, some thin and fat, and you know, we were just very, you know, we didn't have any choice. We had to have a tenant. This is only the way we could survive. But in a way, it wasn't that really penalty was difficult. One time where they, you know, the tenant wasn't exactly very, he was cruel, as I recall. But the rest of them, they were just really wonderful. They were just all very young, just graduated from Tokyo University, and they just military obligation were carrying. And they were very, very good. But like I say, that I know that we know, we realize ourselves too, we were very, very fortunate, the one people who stayed with us.
Other than being in that situation in China under the Japanese occupation and outside of the family problems, was your childhood there a fairly normal one in terms of what you did? Go to school?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The things that children normally do?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad that we had that because our schools were very, very much like during the Tsar, very formal and very, something I thought was very interesting, just my granddaughter, Andy's daughter, who's in the sixth grade, and they had that her class had their parents gathering, parents and the grandparents, excuse me. And so then, it was very interesting. I learned a great deal then. So the principal of the school opened his home, excuse me, invited to their home. And what they did, they let all the children just sit on the floor, and the grandparents and the parents would sit. And then he asked, because what happened there too, he realized, in the school, quite a few of the grandparents with the different, with the foreign background. And there's quite a bit difference. And so he thought it would be very good to hear, to tell to those children each our background in whatever the country. And and it was really wonderful. Only what was so sweet in a way, when all the grandparents and the parents were talking about it. And I realized for their childhood and how they were brought up, I realized I couldn't get into it because my background was so different. Even how they spent the time after the school, still it was different. So I thought, my gosh, I cannot just start it to bring myself into that conversation. Lauren realized that, our granddaughter, she realized. So she raised her hand, and so she said, "Grandmother, tell how that when you also went to Russia, and how my mother was interested there something." Well, because our older daughter went with that. And that's how I was brought into the conversation. But I was telling them in the school, because particularly everybody was talking about the smaller school, that we couldn't go to a cinema. I mean, we have to have a permission of school to go to see any film. And then we have to be dressed in our uniform. And we had a uniform, and everybody knew the color of the dress or what you have, or the boys from the color of the dress. They knew exactly to which school, and they couldn't understand, but why is that? I said, well, because if somebody is not going to behave themselves, they know just exactly where to go and complain. And so the principal was sitting there, and he said, that's an excellent idea. He said, tomorrow morning, we all have to have a uniform. Now I will have to do the same.
Who ran this school? Was it a Russian school, or a French school, or a multinational?
That particularly, I was Russian. And it was very much like doing the Tsar.
Was that in Harbin?
In Harbin. Very much like in the old days. And then you see, when the Japanese came, it's changed quite a bit, and they put that, installed the Emperor Puyi, that the child, I don't know if you read the book, that's what, and of course we had that, his portraits, and then every morning we had, it always was covered with the velvet, and then we have to bow to him. We used to bow to everything.
Did your parents leave Russia before you were born? Long before?
Well, yes. They, as a matter of fact, you see, they, yes. I don't know exactly how long they have been there before I was born. But I think they had another child, but she died, and so. That was,
it was already established in China then, when you were born.
Well, when you say established.
Well, they had already moved there, and your father.
Well, they're already there, but they had a very, very difficult times, you see, because like my father, he never really worked, or he had to worry about. But when they all got to Manchuria, you see, everybody had to do something, whatever they could. And so he got into dairy products, and that's how he started. Then my dad and my aunt, they start salon for the ladies, the dresses. And you see, I always wish that my mother would have been still alive, because when I came to the United States, you know, that's what my mother was actually. You see, because my mother's customers, they were all from the different embassies. And so, and she's the one who designed for each one what kind of style. So, but of course, we didn't, the people over there never thought of that way. They just worked hard so they could have to support the families. And they didn't start it because that's how they could do something to make.
You went to Shanghai, you said you were 18 or 19 years old. What were you doing at that point? Were you still in school, or?
Well, no, at that time, I went early when I was about 8 years old, the very first, and that's when I was, for 2 years I was there. Well, you see, when I took my mother to when she got sick, because by that time, I still was in Harbin when I took my mother to Shanghai. She died when I was...
Shanghai,
yes.
Finally.
Finally.
And when you got there, you were finished with school.
I was already finished.
Already finished. What were you doing in Shanghai then, when the war came to an end? Working, or...?
Well, no. I never worked. I never did classes. I mean, for example, I still continue. You know, I tried, but I just never worked.
What are your memories of the war ending? When you realize that the Japanese are being defeated, that the war is probably close to ending, how did things in Shanghai change for you?
Well, you know, we had some experience, so it would be nice to know that it was like my aunt, again, even in Shanghai. It was a little bit different, the communists there, the Russian communists. My aunt had to rent one room, and there was no choice. Family, the couple who rented that, they were communists every morning. She was so annoying to me. She just couldn't wait to get back to Russia. And when she would see Papa Stalin, she would just kiss his feet. And she, for example, we had only one bathroom. And for a whole day. And so I told this used to say, my gosh, what happened? I'm going to go buy them now. This takes you a whole day to wash the handkerchiefs. I said, I don't know what the future you will have. We always argued with that. Mm-hmm. But we finally, but then they left. And well, for a while we were trying to get my father out of there from prison. But I was really sad to worried because I realized I probably never would be able to go back to Harbin. But they were established here. Well, and then I met her, or he met me.
So did you ever get to see your father after that?
No.
Never again?
No.
That must have been... How then is your memory of the first time you saw your husband? What were the circumstances from your...
I will tell you that because I had a friend, a Russian friend, young man, with the most beautiful, beautiful, couldn't find the job. And he was an operatic voice. And so one day he came to see me, didn't tell it, my aunt found a job for him. He was going to sing somewhere the classical music at the, one of the very, very, very best restaurant, or nightclub, I guess it was. And they, some way to repay to them. I said, but that's your problem. And she said, no, I would like, if you wouldn't mind, ask Anne, if she wouldn't mind to, he said, I would like to invite the Americans. And I said, well, you ask her, because I was sure that she would say no. So he asked her, he said, no, you ask. No. So he finally asked her, and at that time I realized Americans, that one of my aunt's very good friends left at my home, because my daughter has all those American, Dale and Zina, and she said he got all the chairs, and she said you will never believe what they did. They sat on the floor, and then her, and this particular. They had all the help there, all the very, very things.
All right.
Okay, thank you. How was it?
Right here the first
to have a dinner. And I was really surprised, but my aunt said yes. But then he also said he would like very much to, if I would invite my friends, a nice girl. They want to meet a nice girl. That was it. And so I said, okay, but because that lady, what she was telling, and I said, if I will invite some of my friends, I want to be very sure that they have to behave themselves, because not necessarily because they are Americans and they will behave very well, I understand. So I said, listen, I just otherwise was going to go through that. She said, they also say they would like to make nice friends, nice girls. So I was inviting my friends, and so Nikki was going to talk to them, and I said, but I don't want any kind of surprises on their part, because I understood their friends, and I said, I don't want any of their friends. So I thought we cleared on that, and so finally they were going to come at 6:30, 9:00 they finally arrived, and Nikki went downstairs to greet them, and when he came up, he was just completely white. And when the door opened, I guess I became white too. And I looked, the first thing I did, look at my aunt. But one of the fellas brought his girlfriend. Same age as we were, just a little bit different background. Very, very nice. And we became good friends. Mm-hmm. You know, there was tension, it was a little while. Mm-hmm. But it finally ended.
How many officers were there that came to dinner that night?
I think three. But one didn't come because they sent him already to the next day. That was with this particular fellow, something very interesting. He was in Japan there too. And then when Bud came to Shanghai, he remembered that Joe Champ was supposed to be in Shanghai. So he walks into that hotel, and Joe looked at him and he said, but we're just all going to dinner right now, and we're minus one because he went back already to the United States. So you have to come. So you see, it was completely the last minute. He even didn't know anything about it. And so that's how it happened. He came. Isn't that interesting? And the other thing, he came and just gave me something. And I didn't know in our custom, when you get gift, you're not supposed to open right then and look at it. So I didn't know what to do, but it was just a paperback, you see. So I thought, well, I don't know what to do. But then obviously he wants me to look, so I opened and I got the bottle. There was a big bottle. And I thought, well, it can't be a very big bottle. And so, and all of a sudden, and somebody said, oh, somebody saw that, and they were just so surprised and just so excited about it. So, oh, I said, wonderful, and I look at that bottle, and I didn't have a slightest idea what it was. But it was the regular, what is that? It's, but what kind of?
Bourbon or scotch?
Scotch. It was scotch. And everybody thought it was just marvelous, and I didn't know. So finally, I had to take Buzz into the kitchen. That's where my aunt was. And I said, let me introduce you to my aunt. And so, and I told Auntie in Russian, I said, I don't have the slightest idea what's in that, but everybody said it, they all think it's wonderful. So I said, please, say all that in Russian. I said, please smile and say that it was just wonderful. So my aunt did very well.
And all of this, the Admiral was standing there watching.
Yes, and he was, as long as we both looked so happy about it, he was really.
And he had no idea that this conversation, what you were talking about, obviously.
And then the other interesting thing, when we got married, or we were getting married, and so we went to embassy, and we had to be married by the American law and Chinese. And of course, and I, that didn't mean anything to me. Mm-hmm. So I went definitely to church, and of course my aunt felt very strongly about going to church. So in the morning we went to the embassy and got married there by the American law and Chinese law. And then in the afternoon was a big wedding. But when the big wedding, everybody, all the officers came to our house, and it was kind of interesting. They never have seen me. I haven't seen them either. And so every time the door will open, but I was trying to get dressed, but still people would come and go. They will look like that, and I will look at them. So finally we got to the church, and that was our wedding was the very first one, and it was everybody from the ship who could leave the ship, they all came. So it was 100-something sailors. It was a long, long, and I remember I was so completely lost, just like they were lost to go to the Russian Orthodox Church. They didn't know anything about it, so it was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, I guess so, yes. And then there was at the embassy, it happened to be he was in the prison, and he looked like a skeleton. As a matter of fact, I don't remember that. Yeah, I don't think, some of the things, that's the first thing I really don't remember, except I remember that he was just like a skeleton, and I mean it. And so his certificate was all handwritten. It was, in my church, Russian Orthodox. Beautiful. And everything what you do three times. And the other thing, which is the most exciting part, you try to explain to those Iraqi officers, you see, during the certain time that you wear a crown, a gold crown, so it's a very, very heavy. So they have to hold it, but there's special things that to help them to hold that. And I was trying to tell them, please don't drop that because they just will kill me. So, and we had to walk three times, and they just couldn't wait for the third time so they can, and people have, I mean, somebody had to come and help them, because one person just couldn't do that. But it was very nice.
I know that the Admiral remembers that when he went to your aunt's house and he walked in and he saw you, the family, and you were there, that you immediately stood out to him is, look at this young lady, she's so amazing. And he wrote that in his letter to his father, that was the immediately you were the only thing he saw when he went in there. What is your memory of first seeing him? Were you as impressed with him, or did he have to work on you a little bit before
well,
you realized?
Well, I guess I have to be truthful. I invited those my friends, and among them there was my cousin, who was a very, very pretty girl. I always thought that she was very, as a matter of fact, all of them were very pretty, but particularly two of them. So then I was worried about, where am I going to sit at the table? Then I had a really worry. But apparently Bob already figured out he will sit next to me, wherever I will be, so we just did fine.
Oh, so you worried that he would sit next to one of the others
and
not next to you, and he fixed it so he would...
To the red hair, you see, but he just chose to sit next to me. So it all was very... And then the first week, he wanted to learn Russian. Mm-hmm. So we'll have about an hour lesson in Russian. And then we'll go for a ride, because he was just a lieutenant, but he was very lucky. I cannot, that's the story he had to tell you. Some way he got automobile with a chauffeur. So we were just traveling in style. So we will go to park, and I remember Bud will bring for the picnic, he'll bring those, in the war, the military, the soldiers.
Sea rations. Oh.
And I thought they were delicious. They were so good. And it was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But Bud was very embarrassed, I remember. But he will stay till noon, and then he said, and I was really very impressed, he had to go and see Admiral. But there was another lady, apparently. That was the Admiral. And then I met her. And
mm-hmm. How long had he seen you before he asked you to marry him?
7 days.
7 days.
He proposed me on the 7th.
And were you shocked, or did you sort of expect it? Did you see that this...
No, I wasn't very shocked at all. I was very pleased. Mm-hmm. I remember that particular day I had a date with one of the young men. So I did.
Oh, you said, yes, I'll marry you, then went on a date?
Well, yes. Yes. Well, but just a moment, there's a reason to that, mm-hmm. and that's why. Because he asked me to marry too. His sister, I thought it would be nice. And I'm supposed to go and have a dinner with his sister at their home. So I had to go through that. So I did. But mm-hmm. I did that all, I told him first. No, I didn't tell him first, it's afterwards. After the dinner, I thought, because I knew that I would be able to go and have a dinner there. Mm-hmm. So it worked out right.
So two young men asked you to marry?
Well, or? Yes.
Wow.
But I chose what the heart told me.
Mm-hmm. That must have been an interesting week for you. Oh, to have all that happen at once.
Well, but the other thing was when this young man with a beautiful voice, when he found out I was, we were just friends. I had that we were engaged, getting married. That night, he all night long, he was in the rickshaw singing at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, finally the neighbors called. Would you mind to tell him to go home? He will sing operas.
Now, was he the other one that proposed?
Well, no, he didn't. But I didn't know that he was told that. He told Bob, apparently, that he was. I wasn't, so I wouldn't worry about
it. Were both of those who proposed, both were American or just the Admiral?
The one he was...
How did your family react to this when you came to marry so quickly after meeting this young man?
Well, to tell the truth, I was really surprised. I thought my aunt would be very, very sad, or she would say no. But she actually had a date. I guess he had such a smile that she trusted him.
So after you were married, the Admiral had to go back to sea not too long after that, and back to the United States, and then there was a question of how do you get to join him? What is your memory of the time in between you actually marrying him and the time when you get actually come to the United States?
You know, I knew that he was in the Navy, but it's amazing. Only one day I asked, we were married by that time on the ship. And so there's the water. So the ship is has to move. I said, you're going to go to different countries, or how it works? He said, oh, no. We're not going to go. But that apparently, as he was saying, that's what he thought, because before the war, nobody really went overseas. Isn't that right?
Partly right.
Okay, partly. Oh, that's the point.
There are always exceptions.
So, you see, but what I was surprised, because I had to write to my father, and I said that, oh yes, what happened, my childhood friend, he was the Americans, he had a very good American flyers, and they were taking him to Manchuria on a plane, and so he came and asked me if I would like to write a letter to my father, and so he did, and at that time, we also had our so I sent the picture with him, and my father did get it then.
Oh,
okay. Of course, you see, he didn't realize he was military, because he couldn't, in the picture, they didn't see the right or anything like that. But he received that. The other thing, he received a good friend who we grew up together.
Well, she was just always so delightful to talk to and appreciative of being recognized.
What else? Telling.
Oh, you were talking about